Good morning, Christ Center. It's Monday, November 3rd, and we're now in week 9 of our walk through the book of Mark. Today, we're going to be reading Mark 15, verses 1 through 5. But before we begin, let's take a moment to quiet our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 15, 1 through 5. As soon as it was morning, having held a meeting with the elders, scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin, the chief priests tied Jesus up, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate questioned him again, "Aren't you going to answer? Look how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still did not answer, and so Pilate was amazed.
Thank you, Carly Davis. We're here with Joshua Rivas as well. This is the morning, the early morning, and if you're keeping up with us, last week we went through the Passover meal, the Last Supper, the accusation of Judas, of saying, "One of you will betray me." Judas does go and betray him. Peter denies him, and Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was taken already to the Sanhedrin, and they had this very religious trial. And Joshua, their accusation was one more of blasphemy. And it's interesting, proclaiming yourself the Messiah, that's not an act of blasphemy per se, because that was the king that they were waiting for. So that in itself doesn't denote blasphemy, but he said he was going to tear down the temple. They didn't like that. And after like a middle of the night kangaroo court, as you called it, they bring him to Pilate. What's different this time?
Yeah, they ask him directly in that kangaroo court, are you the Son of God? And he says, "I am." And not only that, but I'm the judge. So then they've rushed him in now. And then it leads with Pilate then asking, verse 2, "Are you the king of the Jews?" So I think the implication here is that they have said, "Oh, hey, he's said, he's a revolutionary leader. He's the Messiah." And what he means by that is he's a king. And so right. He is opposing Rome. So they're...
Yeah, so this is a Roman court now.
Yeah.
And Pilate doesn't seem to be so concerned about the blasphemy charge at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Rome's policy to allow a certain amount of latitude in the different areas that they had conquered. So you were allowed to do your own religious stuff. Pretty much pluralistic in the way they approached that, but you did not cross Rome. You cross Rome, they had a whole situation going on there. And so that's what these leaders are wanting from Pilate, is for him to see Jesus as an existential threat to Rome and therefore then be convicted. So this is where this is leaning.
Yeah, we have, there's longer portions of this, you know, the book of John, John 18, there's longer versions of this, and you get more. More of the interaction between Jesus and Pilate. What we see here, you know, in verse 3, the chief priests accuse him of many things. So they are bringing this laundry list of, here's all the stuff, and he said this, and he said he's going to tear down the temple, and he said this, and Pilate's like, okay, all right, you've got a lot of stuff. I am concerned about this King of the Jews thing, but you've got a whole lot of other stuff. And how did Jesus answer that question?
So Jesus... Well, being the brilliant tactician that he is, and very much a wonderful son of God, right? He says, "You say so." He's being very tactical here. He's not denying that he's the king of the Jews, but he seems to be kind of leaving something on the table here.
I think it's really interesting that Jesus is like, "You say so." And I kind of imagine him like shrugging his shoulders, like, "I guess so." But really, like, leaving something on the table is... Now, here's his chance to not only affect the Jews, but now he's looking out into the Romans like, "Well, I'm here for you,
yeah,
too. And you just said I was the king of the Jews. So you said it, not me."
Well, and he's sort of saying, I think in Pilate's mind, this question is, are you lifting up, you know, the sword against Rome? Are you saying
you're
the descendant of David?
Are you going to go to work today?
Yeah. Are you starting a war? Are you starting an insurrection? That's sort of what he's meaning, because
yeah,
that is like, that's treason against the empire if you say you're king.
Yeah, and I think too, Pilate being a governor of Rome, he's like, I'm here because I have to be. I don't want to be here.
Yeah. In
like,
fact,
please do not start. Don't start with me today. This is kind of the vibe I imagine him bringing into the
100%. Like, I mean, also, really? He lived up in Caesarea. He did not live in Jerusalem. He had to come down to Herod's palace during the feast. He had to come into Jerusalem to make sure there was no uprising. So it was exactly that. He's like, please don't give me a headache today. Like,
come on. I don't want to kill you. I don't want to do this, but don't start a fight.
And Jesus, so Pilate has this in his mind. Is this what you're doing? Is this what you're saying? In Jesus' mind, being king of the Jews is something different because he's king of everyone. He is the Jewish Messiah, but he's going to be Messiah for everyone. By giving kind of a non-committal answer, he's not sort of agreeing to Pilate's terms of what this means. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, but it's a little different than you're thinking.
Yeah, and I think even the way that Pilate comes in and he's thinking, oh, Rome is so much bigger than the Jews, right? Like that's Pilate's mindset is like, okay, well, the Jews, they're mad about this, but we are already bigger than you. But I think at the end of the day, that's in a different way. That's what Jesus is saying. Like, yeah, I'm the king of the Jews, but I'm the king of everything. I'm so much bigger than this. I don't have to. I'm not fighting about it with you.
Joshua, he doesn't defend himself.
In this place, he is fulfilling Isaiah 53, that he is silent at the slaughter. He is the lamb that will be slain. So this is prophecy being fulfilled as Jesus is refusing to answer the accusations. And then there's the very real part that he has come to be the lamb. He has come to be condemned and to die on a cross. So this is absolutely what he came to do. So he's not going to go beyond and spend time defending himself against the many things that are being said. They're really immaterial. This is what the Father has deemed as necessary in order to redeem all of us and to save the world from sin and death. So this is part of the story. And he is engaged in that meta-narrative right now.
We need to take notice, and it's not like this is always the case and this is always the response. But Jesus just didn't defend himself. And I think that there's a whole lot of times that we could have that opportunity to not get worked up by somebody's accusations that aren't on target. And to just, okay, you can believe what you want to believe. But at this point, I don't owe you an explanation. And Jesus certainly didn't owe these guys an explanation. And I think that can be instructive for us in a day where everybody's demanding that you give your opinion on something, that you give your statement, that what side are you on, all this kind of stuff. You really don't have to be, and you don't have to feel pushed into those things. You can just be like, you know what? I actually love you, and I love that person that you are arguing with right now, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
I think the answer is Jesus came to save the world. I mean, Jesus is here saving the world, and he's not answering these accusations. We as Christ followers have Christ in us, and we're on that same mission that Jesus came to save the world. So whatever's happening in that moment, it does invite us to have that exact same heart. And it's not from a snarky place of like, well, I'm not going to dignify that with an answer, but rather my mission has not changed. I am on mission with God, and Jesus came to save the world. So I'm going to just sidestep that issue. And we're going to get back to that Jesus came to save the world. And that's shaping everything that I'm going to do right now, including my tone.
Yeah. Carly, would you pray us out?
Yeah. Jesus, thank you that you came to save us, that you came to save the world this week. Would you help us to remember to stay on mission with you and to not get roped into arguments, but to just remember who you are, who we are, and what it is you've called us to do. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.